my name is Amy, and I have a new life in Christ. I am in recovery from control, people-pleasing, and codependency. Control, the one word my family and friends would use to describe me best. I like having control of myself and others. I mastered very well managing my self-image. I needed everyone to think I was perfect and spent a lot of time concerned with their opinions and perception of me. I also was very good at telling people what to do, who to be, where to go, and sometimes I still do. I grew up the oldest of three girls in a loving Christian home. At a young age, I remember my sisters and I being praised by family and friends for how well-behaved and put together we were. Thus began my desire to make sure I kept up the appearance of perfection and face of happiness. I was a people pleaser. I would do anything to make sure those around me stayed happy and were never mad at me. Never mad at me or anything. Later, I found myself staying up late many nights, rearranging and organizing my bedroom obsessively. This is when I started to recognize my need for control. My family joked about how organized and put together I was, but I also had a secret that I would keep for years. I would sit in my closet and bang my head against the wall until I could drown out the voices of self-hate and control. I would ingest medications hoping it would injure me and free me from my control. But no one knew, and I was able to get through high school with straight A's and my perfect reputation intact. Off to college I go, and the first boy I dated raped me. My people-pleasing hit a new high. Afraid of making him angry and leaving me, I stayed in the relationship. For the next 2 years, I chose to endure unspeakable insults, rage, threats, and wild emotions. I fought back often, but was quickly reminded how worthless and how much of a failure I was. To add insult to injury during this time, my best friend was attacked and raped at gunpoint, and another friend killed himself. What was becoming of my perfect world? No longer the perfect church-going virgin, I was a total loss. I knew I needed help, I wanted it, but who would care? In Matthew 11, Jesus tells us, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Depression in the late 90s was still taboo, and despite attending a Christian university, there was no God in my life. Sure, at age 8, I heard about Jesus and that he died on the cross for my sins. And if I believed that, I would go to heaven. I didn't want to be left behind, so I signed up and asked to be baptized. However, I had no idea that an actual relationship with Jesus was the central message and key to Christianity. The fear of disappointing my parents and the fear of hell kept me from acting in my own suicidal thoughts. Trying to appease my parents, I went to countless counselors and even moved back home. But I desperately wanted to be in control, to have the persona of perfection. I was a master manipulator, even with a therapist, lying to gain control and show them I didn't need their help. Eating disorders, inappropriate relationships, shopping, and an unhealthy party lifestyle consumed me. Compromising myself in romantic relationships for what I thought was love, but never living in a way that reflected the Jesus I claimed to follow. Diet pills made me feel I could make it in a size-obsessed culture. My clothes were always new, and I longed for attention from both men and women. Boyfriends made me feel loved, even though our time together was wrought with drama. I knew I wasn't living like a Christian, but I also desperately craved to be needed and wanted. I wanted to be rescued, all the while ignoring the truth that I had been rescued 2,000 years ago by someone who would never leave me or stop loving me. Partying let me escape and pretend that nothing was wrong. I blew my savings on the club scene and anything that would make me feel fun and forget how much pain was in my heart. Self-harm was at the forefront of my mind, but I never let it get to a place where others would notice. I couldn't risk a boyfriend seeing physical signs of self-hate. I was quick to let my family and friends think my failed relationships were their fault, never owning my manipulation and control. Before too long, the partying had lost its luster, and I found myself single and friendless. Finally tired of my parents nagging me to go to church and having run off every friend, I found my way to a local church, hoping someone would love me. But soon I felt a pang of guilt and shame as no one dared speak of sex or partying. As I found myself on the leadership team making all new best friends, I needed to amp up my good girl image, put on my pretense of perfection. I wasn't partying as hard, but I managed to fill my weekends with all that Dallas had to offer and make it to Sunday school bright-eyed and speaking all the Christian lingo. I couldn't let anyone in on how black my heart was. If I did let it slip that I had a few wild experiences, it was solely from a place of pride and to elicit a little shock and awe. Not before long, my new friendships were exploding all over again, and my soul was downcast more than ever. I needed my friends to fill the void in my heart. I was so consumed with what others were thinking of me, I had turned selfish and couldn't see where things had gone wrong. One night, I cried out for help to the other leaders, wanting to end it all after a dramatic fight at home, only to be told I could no longer serve with that frame of mind and that I should seek counseling for my suicidal thoughts. I was back to square one. No friends, total despair, and self-hate consumed me. I had heard of Watermark and was desperate for something, but wasn't quite sure what that something was. I bailed the first time I was invited because I'd been out late the night before and didn't want to smell like a bar. The day I finally made it on a sunny Sunday morning, an old friend saw me by myself and invited me to meet her community group and try out the Porch, Watermark's young adult ministry. It was my first night at the Porch when I heard about Grace. And in that moment, I realized I needed and wanted change. You mean I don't have to do anything to receive it? That I'm loved and shown mercy in spite of my ugliness? Where do I sign up? Ephesians 2:8 and 9 tell us, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." I had asked my youth pastor in high school to explain grace, but he told me it was complicated and never took the time to really explain or share it with me. Fast forward 15 years and my thirst was finally being quenched. This time I was a little slower to go all in, meeting new people and serving. But I was finding myself yearning for more knowledge of God and His Word. The people I encountered were authentic and genuine, never letting me leave without telling me how greatly God loved me. My community group encouraged me to dig deep and be vulnerable. They also encouraged me to attend Regen, but didn't they know I was perfect? Control is my first, middle, and last name. I knew as a people pleaser, namely because a therapist gave me a book on it. But I figured it couldn't be that bad of an issue. It has please in the title. I had an attitude of loving other people to make sure they didn't leave or quit me, not judging, at least not to your face, forgiving when it was easy, and owning my mistakes most of the time. Then it happened. That controlled word was being thrown away around like tumbleweed in West Texas, thorny and dry. It started to hurt and was gaining speed. Pretty much every single conversation with my family centered around my control issues, not wanting to fall off my high horse and admit it, all the while consumed with feelings of chaos. I tried as hard as possible to be in control and continue to control others around me. My sister and I were living together, and she had finally had enough and moved out. She wouldn't take my phone calls, my parents were not sure who to reason with, and my shame was mounting. I poured out to my community group that I was no longer the holdout. I would go to Regen, if only to shut everyone up. In the days leading up to my first night at Regen, I don't remember being anxious, but rather angry. Mad at myself for letting things get to this point, mad at God for not making it all perfect. My self-worth was at an all-time low, and about the only thing I had a hold on was showing up to work on time. I sat all by myself the first night, on purpose. I cried from start to finish. I couldn't read the steps, sing the songs. I didn't want anyone looking at me, talking to me, or acknowledging me. All the hateful comments from my ex-boyfriend were swirling like a tornado, furious and destructive. I felt there was no hope for me, but I was determined to get my sister back and be in control again. Before I knew it, I looked forward to coming, not quite ready to sing or say the steps, but slowly open up in the circle. It was several months in when a friend made the suggestion during my inventory that I struggled with codependency. I shuddered. I could handle people pleasing and control, but recognizing my codependency, my need for others' approval, meant truly dealing with my brokenness. My codependency led me to suffocate my friends, to run them off. I needed them to completely, which they never could. I needed them to want me, and I would do whatever I could to prove myself worthy of their affection. Before going through Region, I put being a leader as the pinnacle of being important and special. I wanted everyone to think I had it all together, to think I was something. At first, I was resistant to God's grace. I wanted to believe. I knew he loved me, but I couldn't imagine him liking me, taking me in. I was a liar, a manipulator, a wretch. Going through inventory wasn't too difficult. I've always had a pretty good memory, always remembering how others hurt me. But as we approached steps on forgiveness and amends, I was facing just how hurtful I had really been. I was filled with shame, but I was quickly reminded that Christ died for my shame and forgiveness was mine. I wasn't that person anymore. I was working through my hurt so that I could love others better. Titus 3 says, "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God appeared, he saved us, not by our works, but according to his mercy." I was in the steps when I truly knew and understood God's love for me and how much I needed a savior. My performance, my control, my hurts were all satisfied in Christ alone. I didn't need to come to him clean and righteous. I never could, no matter how hard I tried. He wanted to hold me in those dark moments when I felt so utterly alone and worthless. He was ready to take the control and let me rest in him. I could now see the relationship with friends and men were based on my need to feel accepted, to feel loved, but an ugly cost of broken hearts. I'd looked for so long for other people to fix me, to tell me how beautiful I was, to complete me. But all along, I had a mighty awesome God who loved me, who died for my sinfulness, my shame, my pain. I don't have to be strong. He is strong for me. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41:10. I now know that being alone doesn't mean I'm not loved or worthy. It's healthy for me to have time to myself, time to linger in his presence, time to reflect and rest. Through the steps, I have been humbled and learned to love people as they are, as Christ sees them, including myself. I am honored to co-lead a group of amazing women right now, and not for my own glory, but all for him. He is writing their story, not me. I am just a vessel. It is a privilege to love and serve his children. Today, my recovery looks like a constant stream of accountability and community. I have been blessed by the most wonderful friends and family. Women who love the Lord and are always eager to share truth with me. The relationship with my sister has been healed, and I count her as one of my best friends. Instead of looking at others as a way to fill the emptiness in my own heart, I look to Jesus. I have learned to love people where they are. I can't control other people's actions or feelings, but I can love them and point them to truth. Of course, even with accountability, community, and daily working through the steps, I find there's days I'm still quick to be in control. There are days I don't feel worthy, days I struggle with singleness and finding my significance in others. Those days when the negative thoughts start to consume me, I am quick to reach out to Jesus, my friends and family who speak truth and help me combat the lies. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Romans 12:2. I need daily reminders that it's not all about me, that what he thinks always trumps what others think. I have learned boundaries and where to turn when I'm feeling lonely. When my singleness feels heavy, I lean into his promises that he will never leave or forsake me. I have found new ways to spend my free time and maintain a healthy lifestyle. Deuteronomy 31:8 tells us, "It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." I am greatly reminded by his word daily how treasured I am, and that my worth and identity come from him. I am an heir to the throne, a child of the Almighty. Once overwhelmed by what others thought of me, now I know that he holds me, and that his best will always be better than my best. Psalm 139 reminds me of this. He hems me in, he formed me and knit me together. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I praise him. My name is Amy, and I no longer live for me, but for the one who gave it all so that I might live. His amazing grace saved me from the wretch I was, blind to my own sin and brokenness. I now live free and victorious. Before, happy when others were happy, trying to make them happy at whatever cost. Now, I find my joy in him, even in the storms and struggles. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 18. If you are here for the first time tonight, welcome. I am so excited you are here. It might feel scary, you might feel alone, but if there is one word I have used to describe this ministry, it is safe. I know how hard change is. I know how hard it is to dig deep and admit your hurts, but I have found vulnerability strengthens and heals. We are all the same at the foot of the cross, and his grace is vast. Thank you.